Hello, I'm Emily Roberts, a director at Burgess Salmon. Continuing our series of podcasts on Brexit and Brexit-related issues, this is a short podcast on intellectual property issues arising from the UK's exit from the EU. So why is this particular somewhat technical issue important to you? Well, whatever your line of business, you will own some form of intellectual property, as is recognised in the political declaration which accompanies the withdrawal agreement. The effective protection and enforcement of IP rights is essential to stimulating innovation, creativity, and economic activity. Some IP rights are a matter of domestic law and are not affected by Brexit. These include UK trademarks, UK design rights, and copyright. Copyright is currently harmonised but is governed by international copyright treaties to which the UK is a signatory. Although there are certain cross-border arrangements in place, such as the portability of online content, which may be affected. Brexit does not directly impact on the law of trade secrets or confidentiality, nor does it have a big impact on patents, although in the wake of Brexit, the UK government has announced that we will not participate in the proposed system for a unitary patent. So what rights does it affect? I will be covering in high-level terms the impact of Brexit on EU trademark rights, designs, both registered and unregistered rights, .eu domain names, geographical indications, or GIs, and the exhaustion of intellectual property rights in the context of imports. I will also be giving some hints and tips on what you should be aware of and what you can be doing now to prepare. Before I go on to talk about some of the major changes and what they mean, it is worth first making a point around timing. Under the withdrawal agreement, there is a transition period which will run until the end of the year, unless extended. During this time, the UK will be treated, for most purposes, as if it were still an EU member state, and the EU law will continue to apply in the UK, including the jurisdiction of the Court of Justice. The IP provisions in the withdrawal agreement are high-level provisions at this stage, designed primarily to preserve the status quo as much as possible and ensure that disruption is kept to a minimum. The changes I'm about to explain will not take effect until the end of the transition period. First, I want to look at EU trademarks and register community designs. These are unitary rights which cover all EU member states, as opposed to being a series or bundle of national rights. At the end of the transition period, these rights will no longer have effect in the UK. However, holders of EU trademarks and registered community designs which have been registered before the end of the transition period will automatically become holders of comparable or equivalent rights in the UK. By the end of the transition period, the UK IPO will have converted almost 1.4 million EU trademarks and 700,000 EU designs into comparable UK rights. This process will be automatic and free of charge. These comparable rights will offer the same coverage and have the same filing or priority date and renewal date as the original EU right. However, they are new rights and will need to be maintained separately with separate renewal fees applying. Whilst the creation of these rights maintains the status quo to a large degree, there are a few issues to be aware of around pending applications, ongoing proceedings, and proving use and reputation. Starting first with pending applications. If an EU application is still pending at the end of the transition period, there will be a grace period of 9 months in which to apply for the same protection in the UK, taking advantage of the same filing or priority date for a fee. However, there is an incentive for applicants to try and push their EU application through before the end of the transition period. First, this would provide certainty, avoiding the potential for fresh objections against the mark to be raised. Second, it avoids a second tranche of fees being payable and potential legal costs if an objection is made or an opposition is filed. An application, if unchallenged, usually takes up to around 6 months from start to finish. So my first top tip is to get your applications in now. In terms of ongoing registry proceedings, if an EU registration is declared invalid or is revoked as a result of proceedings started before exit day, then the corresponding UK right will also be cancelled if the same grounds relied upon apply here in the UK. In terms of trademark use in the UK will count as use in the EU till the end of the transition period, and vice versa. For example, if you have an EU trademark registration which has only been used in the UK, the use of the mark in the UK will be taken into account up to and including the 31st of December 2020. Accordingly, the EU registration would not become vulnerable to cancellation on the grounds of non-use for another 5 years. This provides rights holders with a 5-year grace period to put their mark to use in the EU. The same applies to EU registrations which have only ever been used in mainland Europe, preventing the UK comparable right from becoming vulnerable for the preceding 5 years. However, any use occurring 5 years after the end of the transition period must occur in the UK, otherwise the comparable UK right will become vulnerable. Equally, where an EU mark has only been used in the UK, you should consider putting it to use in the remaining EU countries. My second top tip is therefore to review the extent to which your trademarks have been used in the UK and the EU. Similar provisions apply to reputation. Following the expiry of the transition period, a UK comparable mark created from an EU right, which has acquired a reputation, can rely on its EU reputation. However, any subsequent reputation relied upon, i.e. after the end of the transition period, must be based on use in the UK. Turning now to a couple of more practical points around the exploitation and enforcement of IP rights. In terms of existing licenses and security interests, if these refer to EU marks, then they will be treated as applying to the comparable UK mark, regardless of whether or not they are registered, and there will be an extended period of 12 months after the end of the transition period to register such rights. My third top tip is to review the territory provisions and any references to EU legislation in such documents. In terms of litigation, after the end of the transition period, proceedings will proceed on the basis of UK rights, including comparable UK rights only, and accordingly, remedies will be limited to the UK only. Equivalent proceedings may therefore be required in the remaining EU member states to fully enforce IP rights, and it is possible that outcomes will diverge. Moving away from registered rights and now onto the second issue, unregistered community design rights. EU unregistered rights protect the appearance of the whole or part of a design for 3 years from the date the design was disclosed, whereas UK unregistered rights protect the shape or configuration, but not surface decoration, 10 or 15 years from the date the design is created. EU unregistered rights protect the appearance of the whole or a part of a design for 3 years from the date the design is disclosed, whereas UK unregistered rights protect the shape or configuration, but not surface decoration, for 10 or 15 years from the date the design is created. The impact of Brexit on unregistered design protection is more complex than for registered design rights and creates the possibility of a gap in protection for designs that would qualify for protection under the EU regime but would not qualify for protection under the UK regime, such as protection for surface decoration. To resolve this, there will be two new types of unregistered rights in the UK. The first is continued protection in the UK, where unregistered EU rights arose before the end of the transition period, but only for the remainder of their 3-year term. The second is a new supplementary unregistered design right, which will exist alongside the current UK regime and will mirror the current unregistered community design right, protecting designs that are first disclosed in the UK after the end of the transition period. To optimise your prospects of having protection in both the UK and the remaining EU countries, my fourth top tip is to consider carefully where you disclose the design and consider whether this can be done simultaneously in both territories, which can most easily be achieved online. This could help avoid prior disclosure in the EU, destroying the novelty of the design. Finally, I would like to conclude with some very brief comments on the impact of Brexit on .eu domain names, EU geographical indications, and the exhaustion of intellectual property rights in the context of imports. The registration and ownership of .eu domains by UK residents and citizens is being phased out. You can continue to hold and register .eu domain names during the transition period. However, beyond the transition period, changes will be implemented. if you currently own a .eu domain name and are easily able to update the registrant details to an EU-based entity within your business group, then my fifth top tip is to do so now. In terms of EU geographical indications, or GIs, these will continue to be protected during the transition period. The UK will need to establish its own GI registration system to come into operation at the end of the transition period. And finally, in terms of the importation of goods, it is not yet clear what the position will be on the exhaustion of intellectual property rights after the transition period. The EEA exhaustion scheme will mean that the placing of goods on the market in the UK will not make them freely exportable to an EEA country. However, it is not yet clear what system of exhaustion the UK will operate. In this short podcast, I focused on some of the main intellectual property issues arising from the UK's exit from the EU, including the impact on EU trademark rights, registered and unregistered design rights, .eu domain names, and geographical indications. I have also given some hints and tips on what you should be aware of and what you can be doing now to prepare. Thank you for listening. I have been Emily Roberts, a director at Burgess Salmon. This is one of a series of Brexit-related podcasts that we are making available to clients. Our back catalogue is available on our website, and we will be recording more content as the negotiations continue. If you are interested in keeping up to date with our Brexit podcasts, please subscribe on our website or via Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Thank you.